Welcome back to this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. Of course, I'm Alex alongside my boy Zareas. Zareas, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. How about you?
No. We're doing well. I mean, honestly, been playing a lot of beer league recently. Has not been a good weekend for me in terms of beer league. We've lost three straight games, so we're in this kind of mid-season slump. So not too good.
Dang.
Yeah, I think, and you know, obviously, not the best weekend for the Big Red either. I think we've kind of hit our little mid-season hump here. But what you say we get into Friday's game versus Harvard? Because I think, you know, like win or lose deserves to be talked about for sure, wouldn't you say?
Definitely a game. 6-7 score. But the start was just insane. Like the first 15 seconds, I think, both teams had a score on the board. But then first shot, and that, like, I just knew from there it was going to be an insane game.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. So I want to preface this also because I think the Harvard game, you know, in spite of what a statistical nightmare it was for both sides, it has to be one of the greatest games of hockey I've ever seen, like at Lina. And the energy was amazing, wouldn't you say? Like the building was...
The energy was definitely amazing, especially in Section A and B. They definitely turned out.
Dude, yeah. Section A, B, and C, they really turned out. We packed the barn, man. I remember... gassing them up earlier this week saying, hey, you know, the barn's going to be packed because it's the Harvard game. And of course, you know, everybody came out. We got the free pizza. Unfortunately, I came late. Did you end up getting pizza or no?
No, I didn't.
Nah, no pizza. Yeah. I came a little too late to shame. I came late to the game and I don't get any pizza, but it's okay. So let's just, you know, it was a 6-7 victory, which is unprecedented because that's quite a high scoring game. You know, of course, we had goals from Gillis Frechette, Caitlin Jockham's two goals for McKenna Van Gelder and Grace Dwyer. So I would say quite the offensive display, wouldn't you say, Zareas?
Yeah, definitely a huge offensive display for us, especially with how many shots we had. And obviously the score reflects that.
Yeah, no. 37 shots. And also, you know, in the special teams department, you know, I got to say, this was a good game for the special teams, especially for the power play, because we were 3-for-4 on the power play, which we, you know, scored three times. So that's, you know, a pretty potent power play. And then on the PK, you know, we were 2-of-3. We let up one goal on three penalties. So, you know, that's not that bad. I'd say it was definitely a good weekend. Or a good game for special teams.
Like special teams helped a lot with that.
No, of course. And you know, I mean, in terms of goaltending, I think that this obviously, you know, for our goalies, we feel for them because it really wasn't our goalies night either of them. Bryn Dulac got the start, and she made 13 saves, but let up six goals and. That, you know, just not her night. Well, of course, we love Brent. And then so Bella Mendy had to come in relief, and she ended up only having to make four saves, one goal and four saves, and that cracks up for an 800 save percentage. So, I mean, you know, that's pretty solid for her to come in relief. Like, you know, I can't – as just having played hockey earlier today – and played goalie, I now have such a better appreciation for, like, not only the person who starts in net, but also for the backup, because I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, we got the chance to ask her that a couple weeks ago, but like to essentially have to come in relief, like not knowing whether you're going to go into the game, and then all of a sudden have to play your A game because the team's relying on you to keep them in the game, which, you know, hey, that means something, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, goalie is definitely one of the more underrated positions in hockey.
Oh.
I mean, you're literally guarding the goal. Like, that's how you stop people from winning, yeah.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, so obviously, you know, not the best showing from the Cornell goaltending, but, you know, hey, they're going to find their game. We're going to bounce back. You know, we just didn't get a lot of puck luck, you know, and I honestly think that in this regard – we sort of ran out of time, because I have no doubt that if we had like an extra minute and a half, we would have tied the game. Like it's just one of those instances where time becomes a factor when you're playing. And it was a very, very great game to watch. Of course, Alex Pellicci, got the start for Harvard and got the win in spite of, you know, not having the best night. You know, she had like, she made 31 saves, so that's pretty solid. You know, the goaltending was decent, but you know, that's still six goals, you know, to keep, and for her to get the win was quite interesting to see. And I was going to say, you know, I said this before the game, Katie Stone, the coach of the Harvard Crimson, is not to be underestimated. I know, and this is actually interesting, and you know, I won't get too much into this, but I do know her personally. I had a conversation with her because she's my ex's neighbor, completely by accident, not knowing that she was a hockey coach. She just like was talking about hockey. I'm like, you know, then how come this woman who's a neighbor who's like in her 60s is so into hockey? And turns out she ended up being, you know, Katie Stone, coach of Harvard women's hockey. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. But yeah, no, she definitely runs a tight ship for the Crimson, but obviously not a good look for the Big Red to get swept by the Crimson this weekend. So what you say we get into Saturday's game versus the Big Green, eh?
Well, it was a game, definitely.
Yeah, it was a game. I mean, I'd say, you know, the puck dropped and we played 60 minutes. We played 60 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, hey, you know, kudos for showing up and, you know, giving your A game. And I think that, like, this game kind of reflects that, you know, sometimes you just get really unlucky. And I think you have to kind of take into context that this is a Big Green team that was dead last in the standings and the previous night had lost to Colgate by a score of 9-0 at in Hamilton. So this is, you know, they were hungry, they were scrappy, and they came out guns a-blazing. But yeah, no, in terms of, it was a 5-1 Dartmouth win over the Big Red at home in Lina, which was quite shocking. And, you know, we did score the lone goal. Izzy Daniel, obviously. You know, who else? Izzy Daniel constantly producing on offense with a big time blast and getting us in the game. And then obviously Gillis Brichette and Alyssa Regalado with the assists on that goal. But how about the special teams, man?
Yeah, we killed off both Dartmouth power plays, which is pretty interesting. And definitely there.
Oh yeah, I think that, you know, the penalty kill definitely had a decent game, you know, because to go 100% to kill off both your power plays, you know, you're getting your money's worth. At that point, you're getting paid. You showed up, you're getting paid, you know, you killed off the power plays. The power play, we went 0 for 1. We did end up getting 32 shots on goal. So it was a pretty, we were peppering the Dartmouth goaltender. And that is something, you know, to be proud of there. So we at least had a decent showing. What I will say about that though, I also may have jinxed this because I also have another personal connection to the Dartmouth team, which also sucks. So, for context, when I was in middle school, I played, my line mate in middle school was Jenna Donahue, who plays for the Big Green. And so she, you know, I've been decent friends with her since middle school. And so I just happened to, you know, while I was in the car, I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I realized she's playing Cornell. So I'm like, oh, good luck today. And I was thinking, you know, cause she hadn't scored all season. So I'm thinking like, man, it would really suck if, you know, she ended up scoring. And lo and behold, I jinxed myself cause she scored the first goal of the game. Like off a pretty decent feed too, which sucks. Of course, Jenna, I'm happy for you, but it sucks. Like, cause you know, as a Cornelian, I'm heartbroken, but as your friend, like, you know, you gotta be slightly happy, but you know, hey, not the Big Reds night for sure. And I think that, you know, hey, we're definitely going to bounce back in terms of goaltending for the Big Red. Belmendi getting the start, and she made 20 saves. So, you know, Belmendi came to play, I think, you know, and it's not, it's never squarely your Tendy's fault. And I'll say that, like, you know, you never, the team in front of you can always play better. Like, even if your goalie has a bad night, you know, there's a reason why those shots are getting through in the first place if you're not blocking shots or you're not playing defense. So I think that, you know, there are lessons to be learned from this game for sure. At the other end of the ice, though, I just wanted to touch on that real quick, because Ellie Sullivan, for the Big Green, the freshman who I believe had not won a single game this year, gets the dub for Dartmouth, playing a full 60 minutes and making 31 saves. So, you know, hey, that is certainly respectable. You know, as an opponent, you know, respect gets respect no matter who you play for, I think. Wouldn't you say, Zarais?
Yeah.
2 saves as a freshman, that's insane.
Yeah. Oh, no. For sure. And now, so that kind of wraps up the Big Green game on Saturday. And obviously, you know, we got plenty more to get to, though, because this weekend, or this week in the Sin Bin, I'm actually really excited to have this, because we get the freshman forward. We get one of the new voices on the team. From Wolfville, Nova Scotia, it's number 15, Avi Adam, in the Sin Bin this week. So, you know, without further ado, I'd say let's cut right to it. When you say Zarais?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. All right. All right. Welcome back to this edition of the Sin Bin here on the Big Red Hockey Cast. And today we have a very, very special guest. Of course, it's none other than the Avi Adam, number 15, the freshman forward. Avi, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, a good day so far?
Yeah, pretty good. It's a nice day. It's a little cold, but.
It's, I mean, I've been told that that's like kind of a precursor to what we're going to get this weekend, but.
Oh, geez. Gosh.
Yeah.
Good thing we're on a road trip, I guess.
I know, exactly. Good thing you guys are on the road. But hey, you know, just jumping off of that, you know, let's recap the weekend a little bit. So, you know, goaltending obviously made a huge difference in the game on Friday versus Harvard. And both Cornell and Harvard had a very strong offensive showing. But, you know, what was it like playing in such a close match, you think?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a high scoring, exciting game. I think we had a game similar to the Harvard game actually back in the fall against SLU, which I didn't get to play in, but I think it was like definitely a similar game. I think everyone had to be sharp, but yeah, I don't know, I feel like just in certain games like that, everybody has to be on their A game. There's a lot of moving parts, and obviously defense is a big thing. I can't give up too many odd man rushes, but yeah, it's definitely a high scoring game.
Of course. And, you know, did the fact that you were facing a notorious rival in the Harvard Crimson change anything about the team's mentality? I'm always excited for the Cornell-Harvard game for sure.
Yeah, I think obviously I'm a freshman when you come in. I think you come to learn about the rivalries. So I feel like in games like that, you're kind of playing for your vets and your upperclassmen, and emotions are definitely high. I think everyone was fired up coming into that weekend, especially, or I guess the Friday game against Harvard, just because we wanted to split the series against them this game. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'd say emotions were high and everybody was pretty amped up for that game. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely Harvard's one of the more famous rivals that we have. Yeah, it was definitely a packed crowd when I was there.
Yeah, for sure. The atmosphere was great.
Oh yeah, love the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely fun to play in front of, I think. That was definitely the biggest showing that we've had at Lina this
season. Yeah. I mean, personally, I'll say, you know, the band gets everybody amped up. I mean, I think Section B was really having it. Gotta say the football team did have a big contribution going behind, traveling, following the opponent goalie, following Alex Felici around the rink, essentially. No, it was awesome. That was
funny. Yeah.
So while the Big Red hasn't been that lucky against the Crimson, there were some bright spots. So for example, the power play unit scored on 3 of their 4 opportunities, which is amazing. So what do you think that says about the resilience of Big Red, especially on special teams?
Yeah, for sure. I think that special teams are something that we hone in on a lot. We focus on them every week. And I was actually looking at the stats this past weekend with one of my teammates, and I'm pretty sure we're like top 5 in the nation right now for a power play. So I think that says a lot, with how much we focus on that. And I think that it's definitely really paying off. It's been something, scoring goals has been something that we've obviously wanted to focus on since day one in preseason. So I just think, yeah, our team never quits. Even when we get down, we've been down a lot of goals in certain games. And I think that we've proven time and time again that we can come back. So yeah, I don't know. It's something that we work on a lot, and it's showing for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, even though you guys came up short in the end, did Coach have anything to say about the power play unit, about special teams after the game? Or...
I think after a loss like that, it obviously sucks. There was definitely some things that we had to work on going into the next day against Dartmouth. I think that we all know that we're just like, we got to go out there and score goals. Like it's an expectation. So I think that's kind of the standard. So there, I wouldn't say there was a lot said about it. No.
Okay.
So obviously you're a freshman. And so as one of the newest additions to the Big Red team, were you nervous about anything when you transitioned into college hockey?
Yeah, I'd say so obviously I think you guys know I'm from Nova Scotia, a small town, but I moved away in grade 9. And then my last 2 years of high school, I played junior in Ontario, which I definitely think was one of the better transitions I could have done, was from playing hockey in Ontario to playing here at Cornell in arguably one of the strongest leagues in D1 hockey. But yeah, I'd say I was definitely intimidating coming in. I think everybody's a good player in Division I hockey. The pace is obviously a lot faster. Everyone's big and strong. So I think that every freshman coming in has those nerves and a little bit of worries in the back of their head. But I think that, I don't know, some people transition quicker than others. But yeah.
Yeah. No, of course. And I mean, what do you think as one of the 7 freshmen on the team this year, do you guys think that you share a special bond in being the youngest members of the squad? I know we talked with Georgia Schiff previously as well about, you know, that and what it's like being one of the members of the freshman class with the Big Red.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I know, I don't know what her answer was, but I know our freshman class is very close, like our best friends. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's awesome to obviously come to the rink, and our team is very close. But I think it's good to also have that younger perspective too. I know when we came in, the captains preached that everyone's level on this team, no matter the age. So I think that was something that they tried to get across early on in the season. But yeah, overall, I know our class has a lot of fun together.
So what do you think the biggest difference is between high school and college hockey, in your opinion? I mean, it's kind of similar to my last question, but I'm still curious.
Yeah, no, just like building, I guess, kind of the same answer. Like everybody's good in this league. So I think just making sure that your habits are down and you're honing in on the little things. Obviously, the speed is faster than junior hockey. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say those are the big differences.
That's fair. And so I guess, you know, this has kind of been a recurring question, but, you know, you mentioned you're originally from Nova Scotia, you played hockey in Ontario, but how, like, what was the Cornell recruiting experience like for you? Because I always feel like there's some very, very unique stories between the different members of the Big Red and how they, you know, met Coach and got introduced to the program.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say my recruitment process started late in middle school. But I traveled a lot for hockey. So at that point, I was still living at home, but I would travel to like tournaments, mainly in New England, a lot in different showcases.
That's a hell of a drive.
Yeah, it was like,
That's a hell of a drive.
Anywhere from like 11 to 15 hours. And I would drive to Rochester quite frequently too, which is actually where I ended up going to school for grade 9 and 10. But no, my parents made a lot of sacrifices, and I will forever be grateful for that, because I don't think I'd be where I am today. But no, I was at a tournament in Toronto when I first started my conversations with Cornell, and then I had already at that point determined that I was moving away, just because I knew that that was like the right move. Absolutely love Nova Scotia, but I did think it was time to maybe go to like a prep school and showcase myself a bit more. But I think my process for recruiting was only about like 5 months, just because Cornell was always my number one. So I knew I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Extremely grateful, but yeah, there was a lot of travel involved for sure.
Do you remember the first time you met a coach?
I started conversations with one of their assistant coaches at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember meeting the assistant coach very, very well, because I was super excited about talking to Cornell. I remember going back and telling my parents, I was like, guys, I was talking to Cornell. I was so excited, but yeah.
And then I guess this has been a recurring question that we've asked quite often to a various number of guests, because I'm always curious to hear this. But, you know, obviously being a freshman, you know, you're one of the newest members on the team. But do you have a mentor figure that stands out, like as one of the people who I guess just took you under your wing when you joined the team? I don't know.
Can I kind of change that question as someone who like previously went to Cornell, who I think is kind of like a mentor?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I would say, I think like Kristen O'Neill, who's a forward.
Oh yeah.
Graduated from Cornell, obviously. She's awesome. I met her a few years ago, but this past summer I actually got to play on a team with her at a camp, which was super special because she offered a lot of insight. And I was at that point just going into my freshman year. So like having conversations with her made me really excited to start in the fall here. And she's a great person and obviously amazing hockey player. So
yeah, no, we love Kristen O'Neill. Did you get a chance to talk to her after the I think she came up for a couple games this season. Have you gotten a chance to talk with her?
Yeah, I think she was up for homecoming or around that time.
Yeah,
there was
yeah,
a bunch
yeah.
of were up at that point. But yeah, I got to talk to quite a few of them, which was special to see them again.
Oh, that's awesome.
So obviously you're already off to an amazing start with your Big Red career. Even though you're a freshman, you've already done a lot. So do you have any personal hockey goals you're looking to achieve this season?
Yeah, for sure. I'd say like my personal goals are kind of team goals too. I think we all want to go to an NCAA tournament. It's obviously a dream of all of ours. And we have the character and all the talent in the room to do so. So I think just continuing on that path that we've talked about since day one in preseason would be really special. And I know we can do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And then, I mean, you know, of course, this is something that we've wanted to ask you for a while, but, you know, because you were a member of the gold medal winning team at the U18 World Championships in 2022 for Team Canada. So, you know, what was it like to not only get to play in the World Championships, but to also win a gold, like for your home country and to represent your country at that level? What was that like?
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously a surreal feeling. And I got to do it with my best friends, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I know, like, obviously playing in Ontario opened up a lot of different friendships and relationships there in the province. So I got to know a lot of people really well through camps and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if anybody was following along with our, like our team's journey, it was not linear at all. Mm-hmm. We definitely had fears of being eliminated throughout the tournament. But like we were talking about with our Cornell team, our team is very resilient. And obviously winning a gold medal for your country is something that I've dreamed of since I could walk and talk. So that was awesome. And I definitely want to do it again at a higher level. But yeah.
Of course. And, you know, we obviously are rooting for you. Hope you get that chance again.
Thank you.
Of course.
So how was the recruiting process for the Canadian national team?
Mm-hmm. So the way that it works in Hockey Canada, I know it's different than USA Hockey. I just was talking with some of the girls here, but it's by invite as opposed to going through like different roles. So usually they just like you'll get emails at some point a few months before competition. And obviously because of COVID, and world championships being canceled, et cetera. Like we had to move around a bunch of camps and like tryouts. So the process was definitely kind of all over the place for the U18 team. But yeah, everything's by invite, and then selections and cuts are made after those camps usually.
Yeah. And is that kind of what originally like Is that also part of the reason you decided to go to Ontario to play hockey as well? Because I feel like that's been coming up quite a bit. So I'm getting the sense that is Ontario like the province for junior hockey in Canada? Like, as Mike would probably kill me for saying this, but like, I as the non-Canadian in the room, like I'm just trying to figure that out. Is that kind of where does everybody go to Ontario to play, like, you know, prep hockey stuff?
No, for sure. I'd say I'm definitely biased because I had such an awesome experience there at my junior team. Etobicoke was amazing. But I actually went to school in the States for 2 years. So I was in Rochester at a prep school in grade 9 and 10, which I felt like at the time was kind of the place to be, was like, you should be in the States for hockey. And I know, like, coming from a small town, a lot of the girls that had gone away to school was in the States. So I felt like I was kind of like following in their footsteps. But throughout the conversations with coach and, you know, just speaking with different people, older girls on the national team, whoever it may be, was like, hockey in Ontario is just getting stronger and stronger. And I think for my development, it was definitely the right move. And it just so happened that the junior team that I went to had three other Cornell commits on it. So I think that worked out. But
That's awesome. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, you sort of brought up that, you know, the fact you're from a small town, Nova Scotia. You're from Wolfville. Did I pronounce that right? Wolfville,
yeah.
Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's on the opposite end of the island from Halifax, in about an hour and a half out.
Yeah, like an hour west from the capital.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So it's quite interesting, but you know, obviously being from Nova Scotia, and you're a multi-sport athlete to say the least. But you know what? Originally got you interested in playing hockey? Was it just being in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like every kid growing up in Canada just in general plays hockey. I think it's like an unwritten rule. But no, so my dad's a professor at the local university in Wolfville.
Is that Acadia, I think?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So he's worked there since I was very young. So basically where his office is and his work is, the building, like his building where his office is, very close to the arena where the men's university team plays. So I know, I basically grew up around Acadia. Like, I would practice stick handling in the lobby of his work, and people would get mad at me all the time, but I still did it anyway. But no, so when he was done work, I would always ask him if we could go over to the arena. And one day he brought me over, and I was like, oh, what is that? Because I grew up skating, but I hadn't been introduced to hockey yet. Like, I'd never played hockey. I was like, oh, what is that, Dad? And he was like, oh, that's hockey. And I was like, well, I want to do that. Yeah. I didn't know what it was, but it looked cool. So I was like, oh, I want to do it. Yeah. And so for my fifth birthday, my parents asked me what I wanted for my birthday. And I said, oh, I want to play hockey. Because at this point I was already in grade primary in elementary school, and some of my like closest guy friends were playing hockey, and I was so jealous, I remember. They were like, well, like, I don't know if you're too young, and what, obviously the risk of hockey, they're like, oh, you're gonna get hurt. So we waited a year. They were just like, oh, we'll see if maybe next year. And then my sixth birthday rolled around, and they were like, well, Abby, what do you want for birthday? I said, oh, I still want to play hockey. So they were like, okay, we'll sign you up. It's been awesome. But
no, for sure. I always feel like, well, that was kind of the dichotomy of my family. Like, when I expressed interest in playing hockey, my mom was dead set against it. But my dad's like, oh, you know, like let him play hockey. My mom's like, no, he's too young. But, you know, I feel that for sure.
Yeah. And like my dad's a music prof at the university. My mom's an artist, and I'm an athlete. So it doesn't even seem like I'm their kid. But I think that they just didn't, I don't know. They were weary of me getting hurt, for sure.
No, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
I will say, I've had experience in track and field and cross country during high school. And do you think your experience in track and field carried over to help in your skating ability, especially in hockey specifically?
I like to think so. I ran cross country from a very young age. I always loved running cross country. And then once I got to middle school, I started track. And I always loved running. I would say now, even just like we do speed sessions like in the summer, mm-hmm. I definitely focus on like agility and all that a lot because I think it translates to hockey. Whether you're doing like ladders or sprint drills, I'd say for sure, yeah, I think all of that technical stuff is very important. And yeah, I definitely focus on that on the off season.
No, of course. And, you know, just one quick last question before we close out the sin bin here. But, you know, later this week, Cornell's going to face Clarkson and St. Lawrence on the road. That's going to be a very, very interesting road trip. But, you know, what are your three keys for the Big Red to pick up the sweep and, you know, get back to playing our game?
For sure. Yeah, I think three things that we've been focusing on for the past few weeks have definitely been D-zone. And then limiting turnovers, and then on the flip side of that, taking advantage of turnovers and having quick transitions to offense. I think we're a very fast team and skilled, so being able to take advantage of those hiccups on the other team's part will definitely benefit us to come out on top this weekend.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Avi, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sin Bin, but you listeners already know what's up next. It's the slap shot round right after this. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Slapshot Round here on the Big Red Hockey Cast, where we asked hard-hitting, fun questions and have you answer them as quick as you can. So as per tradition, we always have to ask the first question. Are you good to go, Avi?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I love that. All right, so favorite breakfast food?
Eggs.
Eggs? Do you have a particular, like, style of eggs that you like to eat, or is it just any type of eggs?
Yeah, I actually have a specialty breakfast that I tend to make with my mom. We make kale and onions, and we basically put it in, like, a scrambled. So I say that, like, scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I got to say, on a personal level, I like my eggs fried over well. It's where they basically cook the yolk through, but then they don't, like, break the yolk, and nobody has ever been able to do it aside from my mother, so you know, or do it exactly how I like aside from my mother, so I definitely relate to that. Okay. Yeah. I guess this is sort of on the same thought, but how about favorite preparation or type of potato? This was an ongoing thing.
Mashed potatoes for sure.
And then mashed potatoes for sure. That's cool. I like home fries and mashed potatoes.
Oh yeah, those are good. Tater tots are also good though.
Yeah, so. no, that's for sure. I do think, you know, I think you got to give credit where it's due to the home fries though. I think tater tots are like fake home fries in my opinion. That's just my
oh
really
shade. Okay.
It's shade. No. I think that, you know, the tater tots, those were like my favorite things growing up in elementary school. But like, mm-hmm. I think as I got older, I just like hash browns more. But
That's fair.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite brand of chewing gum? Something I really like to discuss.
Do you guys have Five Gum in the States?
Yes.
States?
Yeah, we
do. Okay. Yes. How? Yeah, of course. Yeah. How
okay, I didn't know if that was, five I gum. Find. I find so many brands, I don't know if they're like just in Canada, but I would definitely say that.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's certainly here. Although I got to say, like, I haven't really had very many of the flavors before. I've usually just stuck to like spearmint, and that's, I think, kind of limiting my appreciation for Five Gum, which is a shame. Do you?
I find I don't really experiment much with gum. I just like what I like and we just stick with it. I don't test out other flavors either.
Of course. What's that? I always love the Five Gum advertisements, like how it feels to chew Five Gum. And there's a guy, like, you know, doing some really, for lack of a better word, badass shit.
Their commercials are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And then I guess now I have heard that this is quite like controversial in some forms, but would you ever put black tape on your stick?
No.
No, and
actually, okay, wait, no, I do. My knob is black.
Oh, your knob is black?
My knob is black with red grip tape, and then the toe of my stick is white.
Okay,
Just a personal preference.
Yeah. Because I once did that when I was in high school, and everybody looked at me like I was nuts. They're like, you're not going to be able to see the puck or something. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. It's just black tape.
Yeah, I know. I think that was my biggest fear too, was that I won't be able to puck.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you weren't playing hockey, would you be playing soccer or running track or another sport?
Yeah, for sure. I think there was a small period of time when I was younger that I was like, oh, should I possibly go to university for soccer and hockey? But then I was like, no, I think that would be too much. I'd say if I was gonna go to university for another sport, it would have been soccer. And I played up until grade 12.
Oh yeah.
Then I think I just wanted to keep going with other sports up until the very last minute that I could. So yeah.
Yeah, of course. And so no club soccer for you then?
No, I don't think so.
So how does Nova Scotia compare to Ithaca?
That's a good question. I think Wolfville's a lot smaller than Ithaca. I think Ithaca's more of a city for sure. We kind of just have a main drag, the main street, and that's kind of the town. But I definitely feel very at home in Ithaca, although Cornell is a very big university. It seems like a tight-knit community. So I'd say there was a lot of similarities in the sense that Acadia is kind of the college town of Ithaca, I'd say, if I said that right. Yeah,
Yeah,
basically
of Wolfville, yeah.
the town is kind of like based around the university,
Oh,
in
okay.
that sense that it's very tight knit. So yeah, I'd say those are definitely the similarities. It feels very homey.
Yeah, although I am shocked that you called Ithaca a city. I mean, as somebody who's like, my mother is from rural Ohio, so like I kind of also have a little bit of small town cred, I suppose. But like it just doesn't seem like it just seems like a bigger town, just not like doesn't really have much high rise buildings, but like, hey, it's somewhat bigger than what's the do you know how many people live in Wolfville?
Yeah, like 4,000.
Oh, that's not very big then. Yeah, no,
No,
you're right then.
it's very small, and I know Ithaca is like an Urban Outfitters and like a hotel, and I don't
Oh
know. I think
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not a city
Uh-huh.
to me,
Do
because
does
we have a bunch of smaller boutiques and restaurants and
Okay.
places that aren't so much chains, if that makes sense.
Do you have to when you're going home, do you fly to Halifax and then drive home? I would assume because they probably don't have an airport there. Yeah, that's
The closest, for some context, the closest Starbucks to where I live is an hour and 15 minutes away.
Jeez.
Right? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's I mean, hopefully they have some local yokel stuff that's at least decent, but
I know. Yeah, no, we do have good local coffee, which is good. We have
Oh.
some
Oh,
small
that's good.
yeah.
No, that's good. That's good. And now, okay, so this next one is squarely for the Canadians, because this is always how I ask, somebody says they're from Canada. I'm like, okay, do you say washroom or bathroom?
Washroom.
Yeah. That's how I know you're Canadian. It's because I'm like, okay, yeah, you gotta you, no, I was gonna
I feel
ask
like I
that.
still get looks for it. People are like, you mean the bathroom?
No, I don't. We'll see. I mean, I now that I actually, ironically, now that I've done the hockey cast, I'm so much more used to it, to like hearing people say washroom and other like Canadian like things. And
Yeah.
then, but like, when I go home, to, to my parents and stuff, because like when I went to Toronto the first time, I didn't, I like the sign said like interchange, and I had no clue what an interchange was. And apparently that's the exit ramp. But that's what they say in like Ontario or stuff like that.
That has to be an Ontario thing because honestly, I don't think we say that in Nova Scotia.
Oh,
It's just an exit.
thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because I'm like, no. I got road rage for that because I like it says like next four interchanges and this guy's honking his horn at me. And I'm like, come on, man, I'm not even from this country. Like, I
I
yeah.
know. That's funny.
Like, no, yeah. And then I guess another one for the Canadians. Now this is probably gonna be slightly controversial, but is Timmy's better than Duncan?
Yes, 100%.
Really?
What do you like? Or like, do you like the Tim Bites? Do you like the coffee?
Wait, do you just call them Tim Bites?
Oh,
Called
is that not what
Timbits.
you call them? Uh-oh.
Timbits.
Oh dear. I've committed a cardinal sin now. Okay.
That's
Nope.
funny.
Nope, that's
No,
terrible.
I would say, well, the quality of Tim's food is definitely better than Dunkin'. And then I'd say the coffees. just don't taste so much. Like, you're just like eating a pile of sugar.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Again, that's bias.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my personal experience, like, I found that my experience varied greatly because I went to Toronto and the Timbits I had there were terrible. Yeah. But I went to Montreal. But then I went to Montreal and it was amazing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is great.
I find it really depends because, like, from living in Ontario, especially in, like, the GTA area, I find, like, on the way to our, like, home arena, you got to know where the good Tims were and where the bad ones were. Usually you can tell by, like, if the Tims are smaller, like, if they're, like, very small Tims, I find that they're, like, not great.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Just a tip for the future.
No. Fair. I'll be back in Toronto this spring, so for sure. Perfect. I will have to take that into consideration. Got to hit Nova Scotia at some point.
It's beautiful.
I do have kind of a weird question. It's only from my experience in Toronto and Niagara Falls, but there's this chain that, so we went to Tim Hortons and obviously it wasn't that good. So we just kept eating at this fast food place. It's called Mary Brown's.
And okay.
Apparently they only run in like the Atlantic states, like Nova Scotia and Ontario. Have you been there? Do you like it?
I think I've been there like once. Like, we have one at a random gas station close to where I live. And I think, I don't know, they just have like chicken tenders and like potato wedges, right?
Yeah, potato wedges.
Our diet. I think I've been there once and I don't know. I mean, I haven't been again. So.
Oh, yeah, if that tells you anything. All right, here's another one. Do you think bagged milk is superior to milk in a jug?
Like, yes, but at the same time, I don't drink bagged milk, so I don't know.
That's fair.
But when I was a kid, I would definitely say, like, I was a big, like, regular milk drinker. Now I just drink almond milk, but as a kid, yes.
Okay, no, for sure.
So what's one stereotype that Americans have about Canadians that you just think is incorrect or, like, wrong, just outright?
Gosh, I feel like there's quite a few. I'd say the big one I get was, like, especially when I came here to meet people, everybody's like, oh, you're from Canada, like, is the weather really different there? But it's not, like, it's really not that different, I wouldn't say. Or the fact that we live in igloos.
Oh, man. Okay, so I actually have an interesting tidbit about that. So our producer, Mike, is from Toronto, and I remember talking to him, you know, and asking him all these questions about Canada, and he stops, he looks at me, he's like, for God's sake, man. He's like, you realize that Toronto is on the same latitude level as, like, basically, you know, what, like Detroit. So he's like, the weather is not, like, it's, don't go to freaking Toronto thinking you're going to be, like, seeing people driving down the road in sleighs or stuff like that. But that was the point, was that essentially he's been, you know, he's saying, you know, Canada's not like this magical winter wonderland that's like just up north. It's like the rest is like,
No, for sure. Well, like where I am, especially like in Atlantic Canada, like you're not that far from a body of water pretty much anywhere that you go. So I'd say the only reason that it would be maybe like, I don't know, 5-10 degrees colder would be because of the water. But
all right, so which teammate on the team, that's kind of redundant, but which teammate has the best sense of humor?
I'd say Bell.
Bell?
Yeah, for sure.
Is there, like, does she, like, tell a lot of jokes, or is she just, like, constantly, like, you know, have just a very funny personality?
I think she's, I don't know, I think naturally she just, they just roll off the tongue.
No, yeah. I'd say we had her on last week, so it was a very fun time for sure.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And then favorite arena to play in besides Lino?
Oh. Does it have to be in Division One hockey?
No, can be anywhere.
I'd say one of the rinks at home, then, for sure. One of the rinks that I grew up playing in. Yeah.
So do you have any pregame superstitions or, like, things you do?
Call them routines instead of superstitions. I tape my stick before every game. Then I also have this pair of green lucky socks with, like, jackpots and a bunch of different little emoticons on them that I wear during warm-up for every game. Yeah, they're kind of weird looking, but I get the compliments.
I'm gonna say, on average, how many rolls of tape do you go through? Because it seems like quite a bit. You know, you retape in every game.
A lot.
For sure.
Yeah,
and
I wear
then
a lot of sock tape.
Oh yeah, of course. And then I guess this also goes off of what you were kind of touching on earlier, but what is the farthest that you've had to travel for a hockey game?
Yeah, that would be back to like middle school. I'd say for like a tournament or a showcase, it'd probably be like 18, 19 hours.
Jeez. And this
Yeah.
is driving, or you had to fly there?
No, we drove.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Long time.
That's just nuts for a hockey game. Oof.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This is a completely different sport, but what's the best round of golf you've ever played?
Gosh, I haven't. Maybe like a 88, which
Jeez.
is.
Hey, it's better than me. I
mean. I forget what the par is for my course at home, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'd say I used to take golf like very seriously. I would compete provincially and stuff, but since I don't know, maybe like halfway through high school, I just kind of go for fun now with my friends.
Of course, my glory days of being the captain of the golf team were in high school, but that's not to say that I'm any good. In reality, I suck at golf. So like, but and the team sucked, but hey, we were proud of the fact that we qualified in last place for the championship. We
See,
didn't
that's
win
awesome.
Anything. But
That's
like, hey,
awesome.
we qualified in the last possible seed, which was, hey, you know, something to be proud of.
I think, gosh, my teammate and I, there was two girls on the girls' golf team in middle school. And I think we got like second or something at regionals. So I think that was like the highlight of my golf career. Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, this also kind of ties into to the golf supposedly, but you know, when you play golf and you're out for a round of 18, are you taking a cart or are you walking?
18?
Oh, for like, you know, for 18 holes, are you?
Yeah. No, okay. Well, here's the thing. If it's 9, I'll walk. Like, it doesn't bother me. But I feel like if it's 18 and it's getting up into like the 3-4 hour range, then now I would take a cart. When I was younger, I would walk that.
Yeah. I feel like that's a. Well, I mean, for me, I honestly don't want to pay the cart fee, so I'm just lazy. So I'll just suffer through it if I have to. But like, most of the time, I'm not even playing 18 holes now. I'm just playing like 9 holes because it's 3 hours. But you know,
No, that's how I am too. I feel like it depends on the course that you go to, though. Obviously, on the fee, but I'm with you on that one.
No, yeah, of course. And oh yeah, I have to ask this on behalf of Mike and myself, every pod too, if there's a Canadian on the podcast. So. Are you a fan of the Tragically Hip?
Yes.
Oh, you have no idea how happy I am to hear you say that.
My dad's also like, my dad's a musician, so I feel like I have to be, you know?
Yeah. No.
Like he's a big, big, I feel like my whole family's are big, big Tragically Hip people.
Mike introduced me to the Tragically Hip earlier this year, and it was my top artist on Spotify Wrapped. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Gord, God rest his soul, is one of the best singers of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, I know. He's amazing.
All right. Well, you know, just to kind of wrap things up, thank you so much, Avi, for joining us here on the Slapshot Round. And, you know, of course, best of luck this weekend. Let's go, Big Red, eh?
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Hey, Mr. Timekeeper, how much time is left?
1 minute remaining in the interview. 1 minute.
All right. So, you know, as per tradition, you know, always good to hear from Avi Adam. You know, I love hearing, you know, I like when we have the new guys on the podcast, because I think they bring, you know, a whole new perspective on things in terms of hockey and like, you know, what they want to see happen, you know, with their Big Red career and them just getting the start. Getting their first few shifts and whatnot. So, like, when you say Zerais?
Yeah, freshmen are definitely interesting to listen to, just their perspective on everything.
No, yeah, I'd say definitely a very nice interview, and I'm super psyched that she's a fan of the Tragically Hip. I am so, I know, Of course, no shade to Belmendi, who's like, I think she said her parents knew like Gord Downie or something, and it was like, oh, that's nuts. But she didn't like the Tragically Hip, though, which was so, for lack of a better word, tragic. But yeah, so no, great interview. Always good to hear from Avi Adam. And now I honestly think, you know, for the week ahead, we're back on the road this week. We got a two game. Stand against Clarkson and St. Lawrence in Potsdam for Clarkson and Canton for St. Lawrence Friday and Saturday. This is definitely going to be an interesting series, wouldn't you say, Zarayas?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be, just in the terms of standings, it's going to be very important.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I think that it's because Clarkson is hungry right now. You look at the current standings, Cornell is actually tied with Clarkson for fourth place in the ECAC. They each have 16 points. And so a win over the Golden Knights would be unbelievable for us. This would do amazing things for the Big Red in terms of the standings and in terms of the pairwise after this weekend. And so they go to obviously Clarkson on Saturday in Potsdam. So that's going to be a very, very interesting game to watch. Although I do think that this is not going to be, particularly the Clarkson game, is not going to be an easy game. Because if you look at our players to watch for the Clarkson Golden Knights, we have Gabriel David, Ann Trakowski, and Darcy LePan, who all average over a point per game. So I would not say this is going to be an easy game. Would you say, Zarayas?
Yeah, definitely not. I will say something in our favor, such as how many shots we can produce. I'm definitely going to say that's over, even with Harvard and Dartmouth, we might have not won, but still over 30 shots for both games.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course.
Definitely going to help us here. We'll just have to see how good their goaltending is.
No. Of course. I'm actually quite interested in seeing how the goalies match up and how that will turn out, because this is certainly, you know, obviously with those players to watch all over, average over a point per game and have 35 plus points on the season. So it's going to be hungry. We're definitely going to have to get those greasy goals. But I will say that the power play as of late has been deadly. We've been deadly on the power play, as we've seen against Harvard. And so if we can repeat that performance with the power play, I think we got the game, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. We do have those edges open.
Yeah,
and I think that's definitely going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Clarkson, we can learn from this weekend.
Oh no, for sure. Definitely taking lessons learned. In terms of St. Lawrence, I will say definitely a player to watch is Julia Gosling, number 88, like Patrick Kane, 88. 35 points in 30 games played so far, so she is definitely pretty deadly to watch here. And I think that, you know, even though the standings don't exactly have St. Lawrence as like, cause they're, where is that? They're, yeah, St. Lawrence are just in sixth place behind Harvard in the ECAC standings. But that's, you know, not to count them out though. As we've learned from facing the Crimson and from facing Dartmouth, you really cannot give up on these games. Like, you can't take, don't ever take a team that has been on a losing streak or that's down and out for granted, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we're gonna have to bring our A game. The women's team's gonna have to bring their A game for the both games, basically.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, Zarayas, you know,
St. Lawrence is easier, but I still believe that we could still win.
Oh yeah, yeah,
definitely,
of course. Now, what do you think your three keys for the weekend are? I know you touched briefly on getting shots on goal, getting those greasy goals, but what do you think, you know, your three keys you had to pick for this weekend
are? Say shots on goal is probably most important. Other two are probably going to be just a power play performance, just making sure that's still, like, we're keeping that up, we're keeping mm-hmm. them on edge, just because they have a power play, we can penalty kill, penalty, you know, scoring, both of those, just mm-hmm. make sure that we always hold them on check.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, certainly. And, you know, obviously all of those games will be on ESPN Plus. So we will definitely be tuning in this weekend. And for those of you local yokels who are natives to either Potsdam or Canton, you can always come out and support. Again, 6 p.m. on Friday and 3 p.m. Saturday matinee against St. Lawrence. But yeah, no, definitely going to be an interesting weekend. And so we'll see you next time. Ciao, ciao for now. And of course, let's go Big Red.